Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here with you all this morning, and real excited about moving on in this sermon series, The Five Solas. And we are talking about faith alone today. And Tyler, what are you doing?
Of course.
You're climbing to heaven, of course. I don't think that's possible.
Why not?
Why not? Well, there's a lot of places we can start on that, but who told you this? I mean, let's start there.
Well, my friends who know God and this crazy church.
Okay. I'm just not going to listen to that last comment there, but are you sure they said it like that?
Yeah. If I keep doing good things and doing what God says, I can get a little closer.
I have a feeling you might have misunderstood him just a little bit. I mean, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't ask us to climb up a ladder. I mean, it's unsafe. Look at you. You don't look like you have a strong foundation up there. How many of you have climbed a ladder? I mean, it's not safe up there, is it? Yeah? I don't know. I mean, if you tried to reach and do some work over here, or you tried to do this over there, yeah, like that, it may be a little unsafe for you. I think you might fall.
That's why I'm really careful the kind of work I do, so I don't fall.
Oh, that makes sense. All right, so you're saying if I only do the things I'm comfortable with doing and make sure I don't get too risky, then it'll be okay. Okay, I can understand that view. I mean, it kind of goes against when God asks us to be bold, but all right, I'll live with that. What are you going to do when you get up there?
Show him all the good deeds I've done, of course.
Well, that was arrogant. Okay, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think you're forgetting something, because if you believe in this, you're forgetting something, right?
A bag of good deeds, correct.
Yeah, that would be a little embarrassing. You get all the way to the top and you meet God and you didn't have your bag of good deeds, right? I mean, what kind of person would you be, right?
Yeah, not a
very good
one.
Does that sound silly at all? I mean, why don't you come down from there? Because here's the deal. You look timid. You don't look like you're totally comfortable up there. And I'd rather you come down, because I don't want you to fall. Because God does not ask us to work up to him. You realize that, right? You do?
Well, now I do.
Now you do? Why don't you come down? Come down. Because here's the deal. He doesn't ask us to work up to him. He asks us to put our faith alone in his son. And Paul reminds us in Romans, where may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that your overflow with hope will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is where our fuel comes from to do this work, not by our own doing, but by his doing. As even in Paul tells us with Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is a gift from God, not by our own doings, not by our own works, so that we can boast. All right? Why don't you come sit down and we'll talk a little more about this, all right?
All right.
Everyone give Tyler a hand. We went 4 for 4, and no one fell. That's good. All right. Awesome. It's a good weekend, right? Yeah. You know, when early theologians were trying to sort out how one gets to heaven, they turned to this climbing theology. They may not have called it a ladder, but it was some sort of progression, some steps to heaven. One theologian in particular, Pelagius, taught that if you want to get to heaven, you had better start climbing. No one will do it for you. Go to church, say your prayers, worship, feed the hungry, contribute your money. Step by step, you will earn your place in heaven. FYI, Pelagius and his teachings were declared as heresy, and they thought they were works of righteousness. So next came up Augustine. He taught against these teachings and said, you know, we are fallen creatures who are unable to make this step. We need help. We need God's grace in order to respond by feeding the hungry and helping those in need and giving offerings and praying to God. And Augustine seemed to kind of correct us a little bit with this latter theology from Pelagius, but the problem was the ladder still stuck, the climbing up still stuck. And people began asking, how do you get the grace to climb the ladder? And over time, the church began to teach that grace was dispensed by them. The church all of a sudden had this power to grant or withhold this grace. And so if you paid your money, you gave generously, the church dispensed grace. If you said your prayers and attended worship, the church dispensed grace. If you went on a pilgrimage and you had confession, the church dispensed this grace, and it was just like a modern-day vending machine. You put something in, and the church gave you something out. It was taught that you couldn't make the climb on your own, but this grace given out by the church, somehow it gave you just enough for the climb. But I'm here to tell you, the climb, it robbed us of the hope and the joy and the wonder, and it replaced us with this fear and this anxiety and stress and worry. Are we doing enough? Should I do some more good works? I need that reward. I mean, it makes sense logically, but what happens when it doesn't work? When I don't feel forgiven, when I'm still racked with guilt, or when I'm not making any progress, I'm still sinning the same sins, right? Well, we can respond doing more good work like Luther did and trying harder, or you start to blame yourself. You start to take a step back and go, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this is my fault. I'm not doing it right. Or maybe God, you start to blame God and go, well, God, you're not showing me the right way. This isn't right. Or even worse, you may take it to the point where you start to reject God, or you think that God has forgotten you and left you. But if the latter is not the way, why do we love it? Why do we trust it? You know, personally, I think we love ladders because there's a certain order. There's a certain logic and that progression to life that just makes sense. I mean, ever since our worldview has been pushed on us ever since birth. If I work hard, then I should get a raise or promotion. If I study hard, I should get a good grade on that test. If I eat my vegetables, I get my dessert, right? Yeah. You know, step by step, we must work our way up. And it sounds crazy when we talk about it, but it even looks crazier when we act it out. I mean, we all were looking at Tyler like, what are you doing? But this is how we respond. And if this is really the God we have come to learn, admire, and praise, no, of course not. This is why when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, or put our faith, trust in Jesus Christ, faith alone turns our logic, our worldview, our ladders upside down. Let me explain this a little more. If you believe in any part of this theology about this ladder, then you will understand that it only a select few of us will get to the top. So like if I told you today, you know what? God told me, hey, right here, special deal. All right, God's telling me, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, if one person can, the first person can get up that ladder, you get a guaranteed spot in heaven. Now, go. What's going to happen? It's going to be chaos. Some of you may run up there. You're going to be trying, fighting, pushing. I'm sure there's going to be great name calling. I mean, it's all going to be nice. I mean, we're Lutherans. We're nice, right? And so they're trying to get to that top. And then you got other people here. You're going to be like, I don't want any part of that. Are you insane? What are you talking about, right? You know, the other thing about problem with ladders is they are hard to work from. Which one do you think is more effective, working from a ladder or working from the ground? Obviously the ground. You're more flexible. You have that, and that's what God is telling you. You are grounded in your faith. It's more enjoyable, and it's honestly safer. You know, though, when we respond thinking we're getting closer with those good works, we find that the risk is not worth the reward, and eventually we fall. Why fall? We've already fallen once. God doesn't want you to keep falling. But we still do it. Another way we fall, we carry a bunch of stuff up there. These so-called good works because we're a good person. Or good people, excuse me. That's what you're saying to God. Look at me, look at me. What about what I've done? You have been deceived to think that being a good person will get you to heaven by itself. There are times when you'll do something great and good, and it makes you feel good. But it still may have a negative effect on somebody else. Is it still truly good? It also means that we're right back where we started with those works of righteousness. Now, you may not agree with everything Luther says. You may not like everything he talked about. But you have to give him this. When he hit that struggle, you know, he could have done a lot of things. He could have just said, you know what? I don't know about all this. I think I'm just going to go take some time to myself and figure things out, or go find myself, or I might go start up my own little band over here and make our own thing. No. Luther's first reaction to that struggle was diving into Scripture. That's exactly what he did. And he found that in Romans, the just shall live by faith, and Christ died for our sins while we're still sinners. In John, he found, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And Luther realized that there was indeed a ladder, but it wasn't one for us to climb. We can't do it. Our rebellious, sinful nature doesn't allow us to. We don't seek out God. And to try to coax us and push us up this ladder is impossible. So God turned that ladder upside down, and he climbed down to us. He came to us, and we are saved by faith alone in an awesome God who comes to us right here, right now. Now, it's funny to me, why do you think Jesus asked all his disciples to drop everything to follow him? Because we don't need it. We don't need it. He knew the burden. He experienced the struggle, and he watched many fall, and that is why he took the weight of all our brokenness, misunderstanding, sin, hurt. He took the weight of it all that's wrong in this world, and he carried it for us, and he still does today. You see, this whole Reformation thing was not centered around stuff. It wasn't centered around indulgences or a priest being able to marry, or the authority of the Pope, or big words like transubstantiation. The Reformation was a fundamental doctrine issue on how we get from point A to point B. How do we, as fallen, sinful creatures, how will we ever attain that relationship, that perfect relationship? Well, the old church would tell you, try a little harder, jump a little higher, you know what, give a little more, pray a little more often. But that's not what the Bible teaches. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works. And Luther stepped out in faith, not of his own doing, and he drew a line in the sand and said, justification by faith through grace is the doctrine upon which this church stands or it falls. You erode this or change this, and you reduce Christianity to a set of morals. And the whole thing begins to crumble like those shifting sands Pastor Glenn mentioned last week. Faith alone turns everything we think we know upside down, giving us all the opportunity to meet our Creator, giving us all the opportunity to go to heaven. Now, some here may be faced with this grace-filled message of an upside-down ladder and go, you know what? Yeah, I get it. All right, that's cool. But I still got to do something, right? I still got to do something. No, you can't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You see, this is a one-sided act of God's grace. Turning the ladder upside down allows us to choose Jesus, accept him, believe in him. But when we're faced with this, that rebel inside of us, that worldview, oh, I got to do something. But the question we should be asking ourselves is, okay, now that I don't have to do anything, how shall I live? Oh, that's a great question. How shall I live? Well, the problem is then that brings up another question, right? And you go, well, what do I do now? Well, this is totally different than what I know. Oh, and then it brings up another question and another question. And no offense, we're in the world where Google ruined us. We get answers right away to questions, don't we? But with faith alone, we get frustrated because we don't get those answers. We don't. We feel like we're left in the dark. So when we put our trust in Jesus, we discover that faith alone doesn't always seem to give us clear answers. Doesn't seem to give us clear answers. But maybe this will give you a little more perspective. I'll ask it this way. I'm going to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind. First question is, is there anyone in here that doesn't have electricity in their home? Doesn't? Yeah? Okay, good. We can start there. All right, so here's my next question. So when you go to flip a switch in a room, do you go to the switch and go, all right, I'm going to flip you, please turn on the light. Please, please. How many of us do that? Okay, good. All right. So most of you probably go into a room, you know exactly where the light switch is, and you don't even look at it, you just flip it, right? Okay, that's good. My question for you then is, what just happened there? Did your flipping the switch turn the light on? Was that from you? Or was the work flipping the switch based on your faith, and through a faith knowing that you have electricity going through your place of residence, that it would turn it on? Ooh, right? Was that electricity of your own doing? Now, I know a few of you are in your, oh, well, I pay the bill. It's definitely my doing, right? Yeah, I get that. All right. But here's the deal. If you are not 100% sure and you think that is of your work, that is yours, you did that, then I challenge you this afternoon to go to your local hardware store, Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot, go to the electrical section and do yourself a favor. Don't take a switch out of those baskets where they're all there, because sometimes they're broken, okay? You want to grab a switch out of a box, grab yourself a nice new switch, open it out of the box, and start flipping it, okay? That's your work. You're flipping it. And ask me if any lights are turned on. And I guess I know, I'm probably already knowing the answer. You see, we don't always get the answers because we're not connected through faith. Faith gives us that Holy Spirit, allows us to be connected. Without that connection, that switch you're doing is not doing a whole lot. You know, it's interesting. How many of you in here know from where the coal, where they excavate the coal out, all the way to where that current comes in that switch, know exactly 100% how that process works? Yeah, we got a few. I know there's a few of you in here, and that's fair. So you know some answers. You know how that works. You get it. How about wind generation to your switch? How about solar panels or nuclear energy? Any of that stuff, okay? Do you have all the answers on how that switch turns on, how that power works? No, but you still use it, don't you? Right? We use it daily. That's kind of how your faith works. Faith in Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask one more question, or a series of questions. I don't want to lie up here, okay? Even when you lose that power for 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, whatever it is, do you still go back to it when it comes back? Yeah. Yeah. There may be times in your life where it may go away. But usually we have two responses when these happen. The first is we're patient. Okay, we take that and we go, you know what? The power will come back on. Let's build a tent and get the flashlights and candles out, right? We do something different. The other times are, if you're impatient, you call the power company, right? And you go, hey, this is what's going on here. What's going on? And I feel bad for the squirrel race, because I feel like they get blamed for most electrical problems in the world, okay? I almost think it's a general response. They do it in training to their phone people and say, hey, out of 7 out of your 10 phone calls, you can just say squirrels hit a transmitter. We'll get it fixed in an hour or something like that. You know, anyway, transformer, not emitter, excuse me. And so we accept that answer whether we'd like it or not, and we be patient. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because I have yet to meet somebody ever, and if you're one of those, I would love to meet you, that ever was so frustrated with their power company that they called the power company and said, you know what? I'm done with this. You can come cut my power. I do not want your service anymore. How many of you done that? Why not? If you're frustrated, why not? That's what we do with God. We're patient. We wait. We get answers that we don't know are clear or not. You know, squirrels, probably not squirrels, but something, right? And what do? We say, you know what? God, I'm fed up with this. I'm done with this. Click. Cut you off. You see, we want that electricity because we believe in the power it brings, just as believing in Jesus gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Electricity for most of us defies our logic and understanding, but we still believe in it every time we flip a switch, plug something in, or turn something on. It's no different with the Holy Spirit. It defies our logic, but it still keeps us connected, even when we don't see how it's working. Now, how many of you know someone with this kind of faith, this blind flipping of the switch kind of faith? You know anyone like that? You know anyone that knows? I mean, you just see them and you're just like, whoa, there's something going on with you. We're attracted to that. Whether you are a Christian or not, you are attracted to that. It's just like, all right, yeah, maybe a little weird, but I want to know what's going on here, right? You see, even if you don't believe in God, there's something going on there. It's unexplainable. And I transition this way because of this. This is where God wants to take you. This is where God wants to take me. That when we trust in Jesus Christ through faith alone, we see God's plan clearly. That when you read the Old and the New Testament, the story of Scripture is God trying to build into people an extraordinary, out-of-the-box, over-the-top, are you kidding me, kind of confidence in Him. And the reason that the story of the Old and New Testament, the reason it's a story of your life is because in the beginning, and Christians believe this really happened, that in the beginning, the break of God and man happened around the issue of trust and faith. In the beginning, the break between God and man wasn't about disobedience or breaking rules. You know, he didn't go to Adam and Eve and go, oh, you did only 3 out of 4. You're out of the garden. No, that's not it at all. The thing that broke the relationship with God and man was man's refusal to trust God. That man decided, God, you're withholding something good from me. You can't be trusted. You know what, God? I don't think you know what's best for me anymore. You can't be trusted. You know what, God? I think you have an agenda other than what you've already told me. You can't be trusted. And the relationship break between God and mankind happened over the issue of trust. And God has been reworking that trust thing ever since. God's will for your life, regardless of where you are in terms of religion, non-religion, church, whatever your background, God's heart desires to draw you in. Build that absolute perfect confidence. God wants you to have really, really big faith in Him. Because imagine this, Andy Stanley says this best. He goes, imagine if you woke up every day with that kind of confidence. Everything about our lives and our relationships, our money and our anxiety, our outlook, our friends, our enemies, our school, our work, everything would be impacted from the moment we woke up with that kind of confidence in God. And so God's plan is to blow that faith up big. No questions. It's that big. It's really interesting. In the Old Testament, God created a nation, nation of Israel. And the point of Israel was to show the rest of the world what it was like to have a relationship with God. So when God launched Israel out of the land of Egypt, the first thing he did, he wasn't giving him the Ten Commandments. What did he do? He pulled them out of slavery from the Egyptians and pulled them out of slavery from themselves. And he said, trust me, follow me. And then he goes, you know what? Once they've had this trust relationship established, that's when God goes, you know what? I got a few things to tell you on how to live your life. Not so that we can have a relationship, but because there already was one established. You trusted me, you followed me, now here's some commandments to live by. The law didn't precede the relationship preceded law because God's desire was a relationship, a trust with all of us. We shouldn't be surprised to find in the New Testament, the message of Jesus is this. It wasn't, here's 10 more commandments. It wasn't, hey, if you're really good, you might get to heaven. It wasn't, hey, go on this climbing excursion. It wasn't even, hey, if you do 4 out of 7 things, God will love you. No. We come to the New Testament, and the driving message is this. God is saying, I want you to put your trust in me because I'm trying to reestablish that relationship. Just as a lack of trust broke it in the garden, a realignment of trust will bring it back together. And that's why when you run into Christians, right, Christians? You run into them, they want you to place your faith or trust in Christ as your Savior because the relationship with God is initiated through that act of trust. Just like the break with mankind happened with that lack of trust. And so you find throughout the whole New Testament, God's plan about growing up and blowing up our faith. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone, we realize faith alone has been God's plan. In fact, our mission statement here at Thanksgiving is for leading people into a relationship with Jesus Christ to be more like Him, right? Newsflash. We can't be more like him if we don't know him or trust him. The more confidence, the more trust you have in that relationship, the more power and the greater it will become. You know, that's true in marriage, right? I mean, the best thing that can happen to your marriage is incredible trust in it, right? Well, have you heard from your husband today? No, but I trust him. How about a father and son? Well, hey, did your son call you today? No, but I trust him. Hey, I thought your dad said he was going to pick you up at 5. Well, I'm sure he has something going on. I trust him. Huh. You know what? Oh, I thought your dad said he was going to do these 3 things and he only did 2 of them. Oh, yeah, we're going to have that talk. It doesn't work like that. The best relationships are characterized by, you know what, I trust you when you do what I thought you were going to do. I trust you when it doesn't look like you're going to do what I thought you were going to do. I trust you when you come through. I trust you when you're late. I trust you even when you blatantly tell me, I know you're not going to do what you just said you're going to do, but I trust you. That's the only thing I can respond back with in a good relationship is trust. This is the nature of a great relationship between men and women, boys and girls, people. The same is true in our relationship with God. And so the whole New Testament, the Old Testament, this Bible, this word alone, is about God wooing us back into a faith-based relationship with him. That's always been the plan, whether it was in Israel or with us here today. Faith alone in Jesus doesn't take us higher. It takes you farther than you ever could imagine. No matter what arises in your life, good or bad, we just trust him. No matter the consequences, no matter what it looks like, even the ultimate penalty for sin shows up on your doorstep, death itself, you just trust. Do we look insane when we do these illogical things in response to Jesus? Absolutely. Is it hard to follow someone when your answers are not always clear? Absolutely. Is it hard to follow God's plan, especially when it doesn't align up with yours? Absolutely. But when you put 100% trust in Jesus Christ, your life will be changed now and forever. Yes, absolutely. This is most certainly true. Luther nailed it with faith alone. And my hope and prayer is for all of you to do the same. Amen.